start another sermon series. I like to preach in series because I like to keep my thoughts on the same thing for several. You know, a lot of times when I was growing up, we'd hear one sermon on one subject, and then I just kind of forget it. But this kind of, we learn by repetition. You think about it. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen. That's a sermon series. The four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, gave us a four-part sermon series on the life of Jesus. You know, the book of Moses, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You realize that 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel are repeated in 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles. So repetition is a part of how God teaches us. And of course, every year we read the Bible over again. And so I like sermon series. I like one-time sermons too. Now don't think that if I do a sermon series that if I come in here one Sunday night and the Lord has said, do this, then we just put the series aside. Come and say amen. But I also know the Lord has something for us as a church. And I want us to look at the seven I am statements in the book of John. And I was thinking about this. I'm going to preach 7 weeks, Lord willing. Now, I'm not, you know, never want to say what may come up. We may have a guest speaker to come in. But 7 weeks, and I thought if we read 3 chapters every week out of the book of John, we will have read the book of John together. Now, I know we're reading, I'm reading my Bible through. I know I've got a plan. But I'm going to be reading the book of John through because I want these miracles and I want these I am's. And that's another sermon series, the seven miracles of the book of John. Oh, praise God. Don't you just love the Word of God? Amen. And how many of you need some miracles? Amen. And so if you want to read 3 chapters this week and 3 chapters, by the time we finish, you'll have read the whole. And it's not, don't take you long to read 3 chapters. Amen. You can do it one a day. Take 3 days and do it. So in this series, the seven I am statements, we're going to discover all who Jesus is. And we're going to discover all that Jesus desires to do for us. We're going to discover all of who he is. And we're going to look at all he wants to do for us. I want you to stand tonight and turn to John chapter 6 and verse 30. And we come to the first I am statement in the book of John. John chapter 6, verse 30 through 35. Pastor will be back Wednesday night preaching the Gateway series. So be back Wednesday night. And our Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries will be meeting as well. If you're glad to be here, say amen. John chapter 6, verse 30. If you're there, say amen. And they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. Verse 33. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Now look at verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Here it is. And Jesus said unto them, I am. Say that. I am the bread of life. He that cometh unto me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's journey together through the seven I am statements in the book of John, and you will discover Jesus like never before, and you will feast upon him. Father, tonight, anoint the preaching of your word. We thank you that you are the great I am, and Lord, we give you the praise for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're in the right place again tonight. This is not a bad crowd for Labor Day weekend. All right. Give yourself a hand for being at church on Sunday night. Amen. 7 times in the book of John, Jesus says these words, I am. And when, actually, there's a few more times than that, but we're going to be the 7 major times. And when John records Jesus making these I am statements to the Jews, remember, he's writing to a Jewish audience, it is very significant that he highlights Jesus saying, I am. Now, why would that be? Because, remember, these are Jews. And remember that they are familiar with the story of how God's people were in bondage. And Moses had fled because he murdered an Egyptian. He was on a lonely mountain. There was a burning bush. God called Moses to go back and set his people free. Go to Exodus chapter 3 and verse 13. And Moses said unto God, behold, I am come to the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers have sent me. And they shall say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am that I am. That's what you're going to tell the children of Israel. And so John is intentionally highlighting these statements, because these are not accidental, but intentional. They're not incidental, but fundamental, that he over and over emphasized these statements of I am. Because to the Jew, when Jesus said I am to the Jew, he knew Jesus was making a bold statement. They knew that the I am appeared to Moses, and now the I am is appearing unto them. And John was saying, you've got it. He is the same I am of the book of Exodus. He is the same I am tonight. He's not just a person. He's not just a preacher. He's not just a philosopher. He's the I am. He is God Almighty. Somebody give him praise tonight, because the I am is in this place. Well, glory. Hallelujah. Now, seven times, and I want to go through these scriptures really quick, Brother Blue. Seven times, here's what we're going to talk about on these I am statements. First of all, tonight, John 6, 35. I am the bread of life. John 8 and 12. I am the light of the world. John 10 and 9, I am the door. John 10 and 11, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 11, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. And John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then finally, John chapter 15, I am the true vine. Can you say amen tonight? We're going to work our way through these seven statements. We're going to discover two things: who he is. Because, listen, every other prophet, every other Messiah, every other political leader that has claimed to have all the answers. Don't you get tired of these politicians who think they have all the answers? But all the best they can do is say, I hope so, or I was. Muhammad can only say, I was. Buddha can only say, I was. David Koresh of Waco, Texas, can only say, I was. Karl Marx, the founder of communism, can only say, I was. Adolf Hitler can only say, I was. Now, Jesus can say, I was, but he can go beyond these people. He said, I was there when the 5,000 were fed. I was there when Lazarus came forth. I was there in creation's morning when the sons of God sang together and the sons of God glorified my name. But only Jesus can go from I was to the I am, because he's still working. He's still breathing. He's still living. All these other people are dead and gone. They were the I was, but he is the I was, but he's also the I am and the I will be. You're going to discover who he is in all of these seven statements as a unique aspect of Jesus. And not only that of who he is, but what he wants to do for us. Do you know he wants to do something for you? Do you know he doesn't want you just to sit on the premises? He wants you to stand on the promises. Do you know he wants you to feast on him, on his person and our relationship with him? If you're hungry, he wants to meet your needs. If you're lost, he is the way. If you're in a dark time, he said, I'll be the light. If you're not producing, if there's dead things in your life, he says, I am the vine, and you can have fresh anointing. If you're in the valley, I am the shepherd. If all else has failed, I am the door. And if you go to death's grave, I am the resurrection and the life. Whatever you need, hallelujah, he is the I am. We think a lot of relationships. I'm so wonderfully married and happily married. But I know there's a lot of people who are not happily married and are in a bad marriage or a tough marriage, or maybe have been divorced, or maybe are single, or maybe even there's some that have children that are estranged from them. And we long for relationship. But I'm here to tell you, the I am is your greatest relationship. He will be to you. He said, I am your husband. I am your redeemer. I am your friend. that sticketh closer than a brother. And when my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Somebody ought to praise the I am here tonight. Amen. If you want God to do amazing things, if you want to see revival, if you want to see God do something in our church, then rediscover the I am. Somebody say this with me. I'm going to say it first. You say it after me. The I am changes who I am. Say it after me. The I am changes who I am. Oh, the I am is about to do some great things in our lives. The I am changes who I am. Say amen. Now let's talk about the first one tonight. I am the bread of life. There are three things out of this passage I want you to see. I want you to see, number one, the miracle. The miracle. Does anybody need a miracle here tonight? I mean, this is one of the greatest miracles. The feeding of the thousands. How many of you ladies have tried to cook and serve and you know you got enough food for 20, but you look out the door and there's 40. You ladies ever felt a little panic set in? Some of you ladies on Homecoming Sunday and Pastor Appreciation Sunday, oh, we should have enough. And then you look out and you're looking. I hope no more comes because that's about all we got. Come on. Now, here's the miracle. A great crowd had gathered to hear Jesus preach and he wanted to provide food for them. Now go to John chapter 6, verses 5 through 7. John chapter 6, verse 5. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come, he said unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, stop right there. When Jesus asks a question, it's not for information, because he already knows the answer. When he asks a question, it's for transformation. He's about to do something. Now, go to verse 6. And he said this to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Verse 7, Philip answered. Man, he was bright. He was educated. He had a law degree. He had an MBA from Harvard, and he was the smartest whippersnapper in that group. He had a pencil in his ear. He had blueprints rolled up in his attaché, and he had polished shoes, and he had all the facts and all the figures. And Penny said, "I've done the math. 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone may take even but a little." Jesus said, "Let's feed everybody." And Philip says, "I've done the math, and a whole year's salary would not even feed this crowd." But the problem with Philip is that he punched in the numbers, and he used an equation, but he left a big part of the equation out. You know what an equation is? This plus this times this must equal or balance this. If you're an accountant, assets plus liabilities must equals owner's equity. It's got to balance out. The equation's got to balance out. And Philip put in everything in the equation, and he realized we couldn't do it. But he left one thing out of that equation. He should have factored in the I am. Because, brother, when you factor in the I am, you could feed the world. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. It don't look like enough. You don't think you can. The numbers don't lie. But you're leaving out the biggest part of the equation. Listen, you and God make a majority. When you're down to nothing, he is up to something. The I am is the I am, and he can change the equation. Say amen tonight. So they found a young man. Go to verse 6, John chapter 6, verse 9. Go to John chapter 6, verse 9. There is a lad here. Now, we don't mean a little bitty boy, probably a teenager or young 20-something. Jews reckoned age different than we reckon age. And so here's a young man here, which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And the 2 small fish is not little bitty sardines like we think. They are probably full-size fish. And, you know, it's a little more than what we think as English people. But what are they among so many? That's a good question to ask. But what are they among so many? And there's 2 things I want you to say out of this passage is there's a young person here. Friend, don't ever underestimate young people. I know they have their issues. I know they like their music loud. I know they're different than us. And I know they have an attitude that they think they know it all. And they come up and we just smile and nod our heads. We understand. But friend, God wants to use young people. We've got to have a church that reaches all generations. We can't just be comfortable with just everyone 70 and over. Does that mean 70 and over is not important? 70 and over is important. 80 and over is important. We must never forget our senior saints, those in the rest home. We must not just do away with everything that senior people enjoy and get a blessing from. But I want you to know God wants to use young people. Let us evermore reach out to young people. Let us evermore get our children. I am a product of a great, great grandmother who thought, you know what? I'm going to take him to church. His mom and daddy's not taking him, so I'm going to take him. And tonight I'm a preacher of the gospel. There's a little boy here that might can do something if he'll ever get in touch with the I Am. Oh God, help us to reach and teach and keep our boys for Jesus Christ. Somebody say amen. Now, the second thing I want you to notice is this young man did what we should do. He gave God everything. He said he had five barley loaves and two small fish. Now that is almost a week's worth of groceries. And food is hard to come by in that time. These people were not very prosperous. And can you imagine? I've got my family, my mother, my father, and they were clustered households. It wasn't just a couple like me and my wife. We just lived by ourselves. Families lived together. Extended families lived together. They didn't have retirement homes and rest homes. You took care of mom and daddy until God took them home in the house. And he had needs, and he had personal needs, and he had family needs. But they said, look, the Lord needs what you have. And he didn't give one of the barley loaves or two of the barley loaves. He didn't give one of the, he gave it all. Oh, let me tell you, if young people were in here tonight, I would say young people learn to give God everything. Give him all your purity. Give him all your strength. And not just young people, but I don't care how old you are. Let us give God all the praise that he deserves. If he asks for all of our income, if he asks for all of our body, all of our strength, if he asks for all, whatever, I surrender all, and God will take our all, and he will become all to us. He is the I Am that can take my little thing and make it to everything. Somebody say amen. You give God everything. You give God your little. You believe in him, for he is the great I Am. And he gave it all. And the I Am stepped up and fed the whole crowd. And that young man started out with a few groceries. And look at John chapter 6, verse 13. Look, and they gathered to them together and filled how many baskets? With fragments of the five barley loaves which remained. Over and above. Somebody say over and above. I'm about to run the aisle and have a spell here tonight. My God is an over and above God. Amen. He wants to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. He is the I Am. Can you say amen tonight? And I think it's very interesting that there was 12 baskets that remained. You know why? I kind of see it like this. When Jesus said, and go to Matthew and compare this miracle, and the other disciples were doubting, and Jesus said, you give them to eat, and we can't do that. And you know, he had 12 apostles, and so he says, sure you can, when you factor in the I Am. And so when everybody was fed, and it was all left and over, there was 12 baskets full. One for Peter, one for Philip, one for Bartholomew. I don't know all my 12 apostles, by the way. Y'all might have to help me. One for Thaddeus, one for Judas, the good one, one for Judas. What are you trying to say? You guys didn't think I could do it? Here's a whole basket full for each one of you to know that I am the miracle worker. There is nothing that I can't do. I am the I Am, and I'm going to make a miracle out of a mess. And don't you give up on the brink of a miracle. And don't you come with a doubting spirit and say, yay, though
the windows of heaven were open, none of us would see it. I'll tell you, God will override you and he will bless to the uttermost. How many of you want an overflowing blessing here tonight? How many of you believe God's got it for Westmoreland Pentecost? Well, hallelujah. He's the I am. Give him another hand of praise here tonight. The I am, the miracle. But not only the miracle, but number two, I am the bread of life. Notice not only the miracle, but notice the message. The message, number two, point two, because there's a message behind the miracle. By the way, you understand that the miracles are sermons. Do you think God just does a miracle just to razzle dazzle, just to, you know, make us go, ah? No. God doesn't do miracles just to impress us. He does miracles to impress upon us who he is. Y'all with me? And what happened was that the crowd was so impressed by the miracle that they missed the message behind the miracle. What do you mean? They thought, some of them people, boy, go to John chapter 6, verse 25. Boy, when they saw him feeding the multitude, instead of them worshiping the I am, they began to think, oh, we got free food. All about me. Missed the boat. Can't figure it out. They hit you upside the head. And even some of them said, we want to make this guy a king. We've got political ambitions. We've got financial ambitions. Go to John chapter 6, verse 25 through 27. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou thither? Jesus answered and said, Verily, verily, I say to you, seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves. You missed the message. Notice in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto somebody say everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give to you, for whom God the Father hath sealed. In other words, the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000 was not something for you. That miracle was to do something in you. It was to point them to the fact, I am your I am. I'm your only source. I can meet your need. I'm not just provider. I am Savior. And they didn't like that. They said, so you're the Messiah? Well, you just fed us today. But Moses fed us for 40 years. Go to John chapter 6, verse 30 through 33. John chapter 6, verse 30 through 33. And they said unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? And what work do you do? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They said, wait a minute. You claim to be the Messiah, and you fed us one meal, big whoop. You said, you're God. What about Moses and God, the I am of Moses? He didn't just do one meal for 40 years. They had manna every single day. God rained down manna from heaven. In fact, go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. And I'm going to talk to you about the manna. I'm going to tie the manna in with the bread of life. Manna, that stuff that came down in the Hebrew is pronounced. In fact, we pronounce it M-A-N-N-A, but in the Hebrew, it's more M-A-N-H-U-H. Manha is really how it's better pronounced. Go to Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. When the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it is manna or manha. For they wist not what it was. And Moses said, this is the bread. Glory to God, I'm about to shout. Manna. They'd never seen it before. In fact, it was like, you could really translate it like, huh? What is this? You know? Manna or hum or what is this? Can I tell you there's a lesson right there? Can I tell you that there's some times in my life where I go, huh? Are you sure about that, Lord? You called me to this, but huh? I got to deal with that. Come on now. Have you ever had a huh in your life? You want me to do that? Huh? You called me to what? Huh? You told me to give how much? What? You see, God does something even if it don't make sense. They couldn't make sense out of that. Manna, that's what we're supposed to eat, not quail, not cow, not our onions and leeks and garlics. We like our spicy for that. Oh, but sometimes that, in life, God's mysterious ways are past finding out. He plants his feet on every storm and rides there. I can't quote that, but I'm telling you, sometimes I've looked at God and said, but I look back and God was giving me bread. He is the bread of life, and he evermore makes sense out of the things that don't make sense. Can you say amen? Manna not only was something like, what is this? But it also came at night. Go back to the Old Testament, and when they got up... When they got up in the morning, it was there. When they went to bed, it was gone. But when they got up, it was there. I want to tell you, sometimes God does great, more than we realize. God works in the night seasons. I want you to know that if you're in a night season, God is doing something awesome in your life. He is the bread of life. And you may be going through I don't understand this, but it may be night. But God is meeting the need. And I want you to know, we talk about people working the night shift. Anybody ever worked the night shift? I want you to know that God, you know what a night shift is. You go in at midnight and you get off at the sun coming up. And I want you to know God works the, tell your neighbor, God works the night shift. Well, I've had a hard day today, and I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills tomorrow. Go on to bed. God works the night shift. Well, somebody talked bad about me. Well, just go on and go to bed. Don't worry about it. God works the night shift. And I'll tell you something else. There's some things about the shift in the night. Amen. God wants to change some situations. It's in the night. Glory to God. He is the I Am of the day, and He's the I Am of the night. Somebody ought to give Him praise that He works in the night shift. And not only that, but to get the manna, it was on the ground. And I could see some of those proud, dignified deacons. Well, it's the pastor's job to get down and get our manna. We pay him to do that. Thank you very much. And very good. It's only $28,000 a year, but we pay him top dollar. Come on now. And that, look, to get the manna... By the way, if that's all the church can afford, that's top dollar. Can you say amen? There's a lot of churches, that's the best they can do. So I don't want to get any emails this week. Oh, praise the Lord. I think we ought to do the very best we can, and God will be honored. Amen. And I can say that because I'm not the pastor. Glory to God. But let me tell you, God don't want the deacon board sending the pastor out. No, if you're going to get that manna, you ain't going to just walk out there and... You're going to have to, let me get up here on the stage because I know we're on live stream. You're going to have to get down. And you have to scoop it up. And I want you to know, folks, I better get back over here where I can get up. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, there's some people too proud to have a move of God in their life. You're not going to get a move of God if you come in walking like this and your nose up in the air. You're going to have to get down. Listen, this thing is for the humble. Oh, we're going to, and it was within everybody's reach. You know, if the manna had been up in a rock somewhere, or if the manna had fell in the mountains, they'd have had to struggle to get it. You know, only like Michael Jordan, he could reach it and give me some. No. Nobody could say that God's provision was without their reach. Everybody that had a hand could have a miracle. Everybody that had a need, God had a seed. Oh, somebody thank Him that He is the manna giver. He is the way maker. He is the chain breaker, and all you got to do is reach down. All you got to do is reach out and touch the hem of His garment as He passes by. You don't have to be proud or tall or rich. Just get on, humble yourself in the sight of Him. He's got a blessing for you. Somebody say amen here tonight. Oh, thank the Lord for that. Amen. You come to this altar, you stoop on your knees, and you'll discover that I am, because the miracle had a message.
Number one was the miracle. Number two was the message that we need the manna from heaven. And then finally, the meal. Somebody say the meal. And I'm going to come to a close. The meal. So go to John chapter 6, verse 31. There you go. I like that, brother. That was a happy meal. Amen. And no calories. In John chapter 6, verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. Now they're thinking about that manna in the Old Testament. And they're like, we need some bread. We need to eat. And Jesus said unto them, I'm that bread. And he that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Moses gave them physical bread. Jesus gave them spiritual bread. Moses fed them for 40 years. Jesus said, you've seen one day. Moses did 40 years. I got something even better than that. If you'll believe it, I'll feed you for all eternity. Moses gave you temporary food, but I'm going to give you eternal food. You know, one of the most basic needs in life is food. And bread represents the basic needs of food. In the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Now, we're Westerners, but the Jews were Easterners. The people on the east side of the globe, they think different than we think. And, for example, in marriages, the groom is the star of the marriage in the eastern side. That's why you have the parable of the bridegroom. Because the groom was the star of the... Well, in our culture, it's not the groom. He don't anybody care about him. It's the bride. Say amen. That's why, you know, we are the bride of Christ. And because we have one groom and he's the star of the wedding. Because in our mind it's different. Amen. We think we're the bride of Christ. We are in his eyes, his beloved. I understand that. But understand that bread to the Eastern world was a staple. It meant substance. It meant nourishment. It meant life itself. And so when Jesus said, I'm the bread of life, my friend, they were understanding that meal meant something. It was life. And what the point is this, what food is to the body, Jesus is to the soul. Say that with me. What food is to the body, Jesus is to the soul. I mean, when I go to Cracker Barrel, and I see those hot, fresh biscuits. Oh, my friend, it's a half moon and then it's a total eclipse. Psalm 34 and 8 says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Isaiah 55 and 2, why spend your money on food that does not give you strength? Why pay for food that does you no good? Listen to me and eat what is good. Come and dine, the Master calleth. Come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitudes, turned the water into wine, to the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The I am changes who I am. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Amen. For the miracle. Do you need a miracle tonight? Would you stand with me? Do you need a miracle tonight? Oh, I don't want him just to impress me. I want him to impress upon me his power, his glory, his grace. Come on and lift your hands to heaven. You're the air that I breathe. You make a way where there seems to be no way. You're the God of the impossible. You are the I am. You are here tonight. You're touching our bodies. Oh God, we're reaching down to that manna. We're humbling ourselves. Oh God, we thank you tonight that you've provided grace and glory and victory. If you have Jesus, if you have the bread of life, you'll be satisfied. Now that doesn't mean that you might not have a part of your life. And I want to ask you, is there some of you tonight that you're kind of having some I don't know about this. Can I ask you tonight to come in the altar and let's pray, because God wants you to feast on some manna. He wants you to know that he is the I am.
He is the chain breaker. Amen. I want us all to come and feast upon the Lord tonight. Would you come and you don't have to bow on your knees, but mentally and spiritually reach down and touch Him. Reach down and gather what you. It's not out of your reach tonight. If you need a miracle, it's not out of your reach. If you need financial help, it's not out of your reach. Brother Baker, would you mind playing some of the music we play for prayer meeting? One of those songs on that CD, if you don't mind. But my sister, the Lord wants you to know that He is the bread of your life. And He is doing things in the night seasons that you can't under. Oh, Rabbo Shaka, Rabbo Sakataya. You are on the verge of entering your promised land and your promised season. And I give you the praise, O Lord. God, this is your handmaiden tonight. She's been on her knees. She's cried so many tears. Her heart has been broken. But, oh God, it's in the night, even in this night season, that you are providing manna. You're providing the miracle. You're meeting the need. Oh God, I pray for joy unspeakable. I come against depression and oppression. Satan, we defeat you with praise and glory and victory tonight. I'm free because of the manna. I'm free because of the bread. Receive His bread tonight. Feast. There's none like you, Lord. Oh, my brother, there's a miracle. I know you've had to say, huh, a few times the last, Lord, like, why is this happening? I don't understand it. But Lord, you are the I am to my brother. You are the great I am. You are the great physician to him and his wife. They're going to sing and minister because you are the I am. Come on, lift your hands up and feast upon the Lord here tonight.